couple of weeks ago, and I asked if she might share a story about that. Do you have this mic on for her? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Mexico with Crew, and we partnered with a ministry called Filter of Hope, which brings water filters to places that need it. A lot of people in the area we were in the city of Puebla, Mexico, and the people had to buy water because their water that they had wasn't clean. And we brought filters to people's houses, and then at each house we used the filter to share the gospel with them, if they said yes, which they did. So we got to share the gospel with 117 people. We gave 87 families water filters, and 33 people chose to follow Jesus, which is super cool. Yeah, praise God. So I want to share one celebration story. The first house that I shared the gospel at was super, super cool. It was a husband and his wife and his wife's parents that were there. And he actually knew English, which was the only local person that wasn't one of our translators who knew English really well. So I shared the gospel with him, and then the leader that was with us just kept asking some kind of probing questions just to see kind of more where he was at with understanding the gospel, and ended up just sharing just such a powerful message with him. And after the leader finished saying what he said, then the man was like teary-eyed, and I was tearing up during that as well. But he was like, "Can you have the translator say that so my wife and her parents can hear?" And so then the translator shared that, and then we asked if they wanted to accept Jesus into their hearts, then the translator would just pray in Spanish, and they could pray quietly. So what was kind of going on in my mind and my heart at this point was just like thinking, wow, the gospel is so powerful. It's grace. It's a gift. And I want these people to know and accept it, but it's also for me as well. So that was just a really cool experience. And the translator prayed in Spanish, and I just sat there weeping, just thinking of how beautiful the gospel is. So it was so cool. At each house, I got to, share the gospel with people, but I was also hearing it preached to myself over and over again. And that was just such a beautiful experience that I'm so thankful for. So thank you, everybody. I know some of you supported me, so I really am grateful for that and thankful. But God did amazing things in Mexico, and he is definitely moving there. So thank you so much.
And there will be some more information in the next few weeks about mission opportunities, probably through the summer as we look for the next year. We'd like to get back to doing a few mission trips here at Cottonwood. We have a few partnerships that we've been involved with. So if that piques your interest, something you want to be involved in, keep your eyes open for that. We also have our mission to our city, where you don't have to get on a plane and go anywhere, but you can spend the first weekend in August, and we look to invest into our city here locally in the area to meet needs and really leave the building as the church to go be a blessing to our neighbors and our neighborhood and our city. So you can mark that on your save the date calendar if you want. This morning, child dedication is something that we practice here at Cottonwood. And if you want to, by the way, I didn't say this at the beginning, but if you, either for a child dedication or for a baptism, want to move around to get a picture, feel free to come right up wherever you need to get a picture, if that's what you would like to do for family. But child dedications are something we practice, and what child dedication is for us at Cottonwood is that, first of all, it's really, we call it a celebration Sunday because it's really just a joyful recognition that every child is a gift from God. And we find that all over the scriptures, but in particular in Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And every child, no matter the circumstances of their birth, is a reward from God. And so today we recognize that these children, what these parents will invite up here in just a minute, are doing is they're saying before us as their witnesses that they receive these kids as a gift from God. And that comes with responsibility because it's a really precious gift. And so they're saying we're going to receive this precious gift and take up the responsibility to steward and care for this new life that God's entrusted to us. Secondly, child dedication is a commitment by parents. That's how we view it here at Cottonwood. It's really, the dedication part is really more on the parent side, to dedicate themselves to follow and obey God and to teach their children to do the same. And that's a key passage for that. I'm not going to read the whole thing this morning, is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. That's kind of like the 24/7, 365-day passage for parents. Say, parents, this is a big job. Here it is. It's pretty much as you come, as you go, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's in that passage. But basically, put God first in your thoughts, put God first in your actions, put God first in your home as you go out and do your job. And why to do that? These parents are saying, we're going to commit. Of course, we don't do that 100% perfectly, right? One person did that while they were on the planet, did it perfectly, Jesus. But we will just try to put our effort into trying to live that way. And the reason in Deuteronomy is so that your kids will see that as a sign of what God is like and want to know him as well. So these parents are making that commitment this morning. And thirdly, they're making it as a vow that they make between God and these parents in the presence of their church family. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. And so vows are involuntary. You don't have to make them. But these parents are today are going to say, we'd like to do that and publicly declare our intention to raise these kids, to receive them with joy, and to ourselves follow and obey God so that our kids would also follow and obey God. And we as their church family and maybe other friends and maybe other family members are going to witness them making that commitment this morning. So I'd like to invite the Crary family, Russell and Lucy with Raleigh Rose, the Wurstalls, Ryan and Emily with Benjamin Ryan, the Mooney family with Aaron and Carissa with Samuel Isaac, and the Freilich family, Andrew and Emily, with their little one Hazel May. If you want to sort of come on this side so we could see you and not hide behind the piano, that would be great. I'm going to come over this way. That'd be great. Be easier to see all of you. I think there's enough room. We can make room. That's right. You want to come over this side? That way I can look one direction. Perfect. Thanks, guys. These are some great families. Beautiful. So I'm going to ask these parents, Russell and Lucy, Ryan and Emily, Aaron and Carissa, Andrew and Emily. This is like the first time I've ever happened where they're in the order that I have on my paper, so I don't have to like look around and try to figure out which baby names goes with which family. So thank you guys. That's amazing. Good job. I'm going to ask them some questions and ask if they'll enter into this vow, and then they will respond, and then we're just going to, I'm going to ask you guys to stand as witnesses at the end and just also say we affirm that their vow before God. So Russell and Lucy, Ryan and Emily, Aaron and Carissa, Andrew and Emily, do you vow together before Almighty God and this church and these witnesses that you will raise your children in a way that pleases God by instructing and training your children in God's word, by introducing them to Jesus and his love for them and their need for a Savior, by being an example of godliness in your home, in your marriage, and by protecting your child from evil influences, by staying committed to the fellowship of believers within the local church, and above all, do you vow to keep Christ at the center of your lives? If so, please say, we do. Great. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys to stand. This will be a little bit different than I've done in the past. I'm not going to... These parents right here are dedicating themselves to do a really honorable thing, to raise their kids to follow Christ. And they're also committing themselves to follow Christ, you have an opportunity. You might have opportunities to come alongside them, to partner with them, perhaps as they raise their kids. Maybe you'll help out in a kids ministry, or you'll get to hold one of these babies in a nursery for an hour or so, or maybe you'll get to help shepherd a little preschooler in a class here or there. Maybe you'll just get to chat with them or talk at a fellowship meal or have them over at some point. Maybe you'll have that, but you can certainly pray for these parents and these children as witnesses of these parents' vow. Would you express your support of these parents and their efforts to raise their kids to follow Christ? And I'm just going to ask you to do something a little differently. I want you to say, we're with you, because we're behind these parents as they're trying to raise their kids to follow God. So would you say that with me? We're with you. We're with you. We're behind you. Okay, let me pray for you guys. Lord, thank you for each of these little ones that you've given as a gift. Bless each of these families. Cause them to flourish. May you make your face shine down on them in this generation and for another generation and thousands to follow. Would you keep and lead them by your abundant grace and peace? In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can give them a round of applause. I got a certificate for you each. There you go. Congratulations, you guys. There you go. And now Tom's going to come up and lead us through the baptism portion of our service this morning. He is already here. There you go.
What an encouraging morning it has been, and it's going to get more and more encouraging. We're going to have a baptism today, and I'm just going to share briefly what baptism is about. For most of us, this is a reminder, but we're going to start with Matthew 28:19-20. It says, Jesus spoke these words, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you." And he says, "Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Amen." And so this verse here gives us the mandate for baptism. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And the very first utterance after that, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we get from that that part of our following Jesus and being disciples is to be baptized. And we also have here the not only the mandate, but the mode of baptism. Baptism literally means immersion, going all the way underwater. And so that's what we're going to do here today. We got plenty of water, and it's nice and warm, too. It's probably warmer than our congregation is here today. I guess the furnace is going now, so we'll get warmer yet. But the mode is immersion, and not just a sprinkle, but all the way underwater. And next, our verse is Romans 6 and verse 4. And Paul writes this, "Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So this gives us the message or the meaning of baptism, and it's identification with Jesus Christ. Identification with Christ. That just as Christ was, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. So that's what happens with us when we put our faith in Christ. We died with him. We have new life with him. And baptism is a symbol of that which has happened. It doesn't wash away our sins. Those are already forgiven when we come to Christ. But it's our identification, and it's a proclamation, too, that we are going to follow Jesus for the rest of our lives. And with that in mind, we have, like I said, one baptism today, Chris Wolf. He's going to share his testimony, how he came to Christ, and what it means for him to be baptized, and then we're going to do the job.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Chris Wolf. My wife Holly and I are members here at Cottonwood Community Church. And as part of my baptism today, I wanted to share my faith journey and testimony with all of you. Before I get started, I was talking with Pastor Tom before the service, and I'm, for those of you that are members here, I'm a little bit maybe older than some of the people that you see go through baptism. I did ask him if I'm the oldest person being baptized, and he looked at me and said, "Ever?" That wasn't my question, Tom, but I was saying at Cottonwood, and he paused and said, "No, I don't think so." But I'm not sure. I might be, but I'm sure happy to be here with all of you today. I was born in Grand Forks and had a wonderful childhood, many fond memories of growing up with my parents and my one brother. I consider myself very fortunate to have grown up in a household with an abundance of laughter and joy and love and happiness. I've always considered myself blessed to have started my life this way in a family that was like that. My faith journey began when my parents had me baptized as an infant at St. Mary's Catholic Church right across the street from Cottonwood. Then as a child, I attended Sunday school there, and each Sunday I remember my brother and I going to Sunday school and then joining my mother for church. During my high school years, I went through confirmation classes at St. Mary's, and certainly not everybody seemed to take those seriously, but I did take it seriously. I knew that was a very important thing. And at the end of our classes, I was confirmed and made a personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So that was a very important day in my life, as from that day onward, I have known the truth that my sins are forgiven and I have been given eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Although I knew that I was saved, I can't say I've always been good at putting God first or following the example that Jesus has set for us. After college graduation, I got married, was blessed with two children, Keaton and Georgia, was a member of Calvary Lutheran Church, and attended weekly worship, brought my children to their weekly Sunday school and confirmation classes. Although I was a member of a church, I found myself kind of going through the motions and was not really an active participant in the church. And being very transparent, God certainly was not the priority in my life. My priority was myself, my children, my career, many things, but certainly wasn't God. Although personally I was happy, life seemed good to me. I found myself, in early 2013, I found myself lost as my marriage, relationship of over 20 years, unexpectedly ended in divorce. I was hurt and confused, found myself searching for a lot of answers. I was certainly humbled. It was a very tough year for me personally. However, I continued to move forward. And almost a year later, on November 15th of 2013, I met Holly. And Holly introduced me to Cottonwood, and which really has been the starting point, which inspired me to strengthen my faith and work on my relationship with God. As I continued to rebuild my life, Holly and I were married right here at Cottonwood on January 3rd of 2015. We've been blessed with two more children, McGuire being born in August of 2015, and Chandler Jean being born on April of 2017. We are members here at Cottonwood, and over the past 10 years, I've met many wonderful people here at Cottonwood who have treated me with tremendous kindness and respect. I've enjoyed being a part of different home groups, discussing my faith and my beliefs with other Christians, and being involved in the church with other ways. My relationship with God and Jesus has certainly continued to grow stronger, and God has continued to bless me in so many ways. But again, being honest and transparent, God and Jesus have not always been at the center of my life. I continued to put myself first, or my family, or my career. It just wasn't about God and Jesus at the center. Then on October 31st of 2021, Seth Dorman was delivering a message to the congregation here at Cottonwood that really moved me. It encouraged me to do more than believe in Jesus and have faith, but to actually follow Jesus. Although I knew for a long time that I was saved, as I had faith in Jesus, on October 31st of 2021, I told Holly and my daughter Georgia that I actually wanted to follow Jesus. It was an important day as a light bulb kind of went off in my head. I knew that I needed to do something different, but I really didn't know exactly what that was. I didn't know what I needed to do to be a better follower of Jesus. So apparently I'm a very slow learner. It's been a couple of years. Maybe I could blame it on the COVID or something like that, but for whatever reason, over the past several years, I have prayed, thought a lot about what following Jesus means to me, and I'd like to share some of that with you. For me, the foundation that is laid out by Jesus as he addressed a crowd in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. For me, this verse really simplifies what I am called to do on earth. To love God is to know him and to make him a priority. And to love your neighbor as myself is really living the golden rule of do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. As well as what the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love never ends. And although at times I think I'm pretty good at love, I know that I can be better at loving even when I may not feel like loving. And it's about love. I would like to share my favorite salvation Bible verse, and it's John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believed in him will not perish but have eternal life. Also, I have two additional Bible verses that have served as life verses for me and examples of how I try to live my life. The first is Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the second Bible verse is Ephesians 4, 31-32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So to summarize and in closing, I have known that I have eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for many years. I'm being baptized today by full immersion to declare Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my intention to put God first in my life, and to be a better follower of Jesus. I would like to thank my wife Holly for introducing me to Cottonwood and your support. I want to thank our various home groups that we've been involved with, and specifically the home group leaders, David and Catherine Dunham, Anthony and Erica Weiser, Seth and Sarah Tweet. Thank you for opening your homes and your ongoing leadership and encouragement in bringing us together. I want to thank you to Pastor Pat and Pastor Tom for your ongoing leadership and encouragement to all of us here at Cottonwood. Thank you to Seth Dorman for your message on October 31st. And really encouraging me to follow Jesus and to think about and sort through what that means for me. And finally, thank you to Pastor Tom for sharing your wisdom with me over the years and agreeing to baptize me today here. And one last thank you to all of you for being here with us and for listening today. Thank you. God bless.
Great celebrating with you guys today. This is a great celebration of this baptism. On Palm Sunday, we're remembering Jesus who entered into Jerusalem to a cheering crowd. We've got to cheer a couple of times this morning. They waved palm branches in celebration of him as king. And of course, Jesus promised to come back again as the king. But by the end of that week, it was Good Friday, which wasn't really very good. It's good now for us because we know what it means. But Good Friday to his first followers was not a good day. It meant that their Savior was dead on a cross. Their hearts were broken. Their hopes were dashed. Blood that flowed down out of Jesus' body. There was no more. And confusion and pain, I'm sure, flowed out of the hearts of his disciples. And that day in between, I'm sure, was not a very good day either. But Sunday was. Sunday, some of his followers went to his tomb and thought, well, at least we can honor his life and his body because he was hastily put into a tomb but not really cared for with a proper burial. But that tomb was open and empty, and he appeared to some of them. And just like a couple of days previously, probably confusion and pain flowed out of their hearts, indescribable, probably confusion and joy flowed out of their hearts as the tomb was empty, and then he appeared alive and resurrected again. Baptism pictures Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. That's a pretty sweet day to have that today. It pictures the death of Jesus, and it pictures his resurrection again, which is how we identify with him as believers in Christ. The fullness of what Christ did is represented by this communion. We call it a meal. Of course, it's not really a meal. You're probably going to still need lunch after this, little wafer and little bit of juice, but we call it a meal. We could have a more substantial meal if we wanted to and celebrate Jesus with the bread and the juice, but this is a meal that saves us for, it represents that we're saved forever through the broken body of Christ and through the blood that flowed down, which is what his, what the wine or the grape juice that we use celebrates. Let me read 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And so in communion, what we do is we pause to remember Jesus' death, his broken body, his blood that was poured out. It was a solemn moment. But we also know that it was a reason for joy because his death gave new life. And he came back to life, and he did that to say that we can also come to life, from spiritual death to spiritual life. So if you've put your faith in Christ, feel free to join us here at the communion table as we remember his death and his resurrection.